Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. We are coming to you live from the All Disclosure, All the Time headquarters, which tonight is the Coast to Coast AM studios right here in Los Angeles, California. Filling in for George Norrie on this New Year's weekend, I am your host, Jimmy Church. And tonight, well, tonight it's 13 days since the mainstream media started running away with this UFO story. And we've had so much UFO news around the world. It's what the UFO community has been yelling about for decades. And today I'm talking to Tom DeLong, having a long conversation about the events and what went down. And I said, Tom, it's like this. Tonight I'm on Coast. I need to know what the next play is. I need to know what's going on. I want to know what's happening next. It's the end of the year. It's it. 2018's coming up. How do we top this? And Tom said, you know, Jimmy, for Coast, I'm going to send you a statement. I said, okay. So I'm going to read you this. This is what Tom DeLong sent me today. He said, I'd like to thank you. I'd like to say for all of your support, I want to thank you. And as you know, I created a vehicle that my team was able to supercharge and get the Pentagon to officially acknowledge the existence of unidentified aerial phenomena. Senator Harry Reid, the former majority leader, went on the record as well. Congress has ignited, and briefings will be starting soon if all goes well. This takes a lot of time, effort, and strategy, so bear with me as we start talking about more gun camera footage, hardware, and even more expansive military encounters. It's all coming, but it's going to trickle over the months ahead. I want to thank you all again. I am one of you. I am a truth seeker. Tom DeLong, December 29th. So there you have it. These days of disclosure that we're going through right now, my guest tonight, Richard Dolan. He's not only written about the disclosure subject, but he has been talking about it, theorizing, strategizing about these days that we are going through right now. Is this disclosure? Is this a drip of disclosure? Is this the real thing? Can we now move forward? What are we going to do? Well, now we're at the end of 2017. We're going into 2018. We can't go backwards on this disclosure narrative that kicked off on December 16th, 2017. And that's why tonight on this New Year's weekend, on my last broadcast for Coast to Coast this year, there's only one person to bring on to discuss this, and that is Richard Dolan. Now, what we're going to do tonight is this. We're going to have Richard on, and then we're going to take phone calls with Richard, because I know that this audience, which is an important audience, not only for the UFO community, but for all of us that deal with this, it's the Coast audience and those calls that matter. So Richard is going to take some of your phone calls tonight and address all of these important issues that are facing us right now, the days of disclosure. So turn down the lights. Get ready. It's going to be one of those Friday nights right here on Coast. You can follow me, Jimmy Church, right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. You know the drill. Twitter is always live to my left right here in the studio. The studio is dark. The lights are down. Any questions or comments, you can post them right there. And maybe, just maybe, if Tom says yes, your tweet will get read on the air. Enjoy the bumper music tonight. Dan spent so much time on it today that your questions or comments about the bumper music are appreciated. Let's do this. Filling in for George on this New Year's weekend, I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and we'll be right back with my guest, Richard Dolan. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right, welcome back to Coast AM, filling in for George Norrie tonight on this Friday, New Year's weekend. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. You can follow Richard Dolan, by the way, at Rich_Dolan on Twitter. He is one of the world's leading UFO researchers, so there's no question about that. He's a historian. He's also a publisher. He's written a number of classics for the field, including AD After Disclosure with Bryce Zabel. And currently, he is the writer and host of a series called False Flags over on Gaia TV, which is absolutely amazing and highly recommended. And he's allegedly writing a book on the same subject. I know right now he is laughing, but hopefully we'll see that in 2018. He also hosts two radio shows. He's with me over on KGRA, the Richard Dolan Show. We are stable mates over there. And he also hosts the F-Files and is the publisher of Richard Dolan Press, which features the work of many leading authors and researchers around the world. And you can just go to his website, click on his name right there at Coast to Coast AM. I would like to welcome back to Coast, Richard Bleepin' Dolan. Richard, good evening.
Hello, Jimmy. Thank you for having me on again tonight. Love being on here with you.
Happy New Year.
And to you.
Now, before we get started, what was the last piece of music that you listened to today, Richard?
Well, actually, I was listening to classical music today, and the last piece that I distinctly remember was, I can't remember the name of the piece, but it was by a very obscure composer named Tommaso Albinoni.
Now, see, so, now that right there sounds like Richard Dolan. That's what you should be listening to. I think the last time you were on Coast, it was...
No disco today.
Yeah,
no,
it was disco. It was
no
disco.
70s rock.
Now, Richard...
Albinoni was a Baroque composer. He was actually quite nice, quite good.
Well, we'll have to check that out. Thanks for the recommendation. Richard, 2017, we went through, you know, what was obviously a traumatic year with all kinds of things that were going on around the world. You name it, it happened, and it happened big, right? And we were getting close to the end of the year, and then December 16th, 2017, New York Times, we know what happened there.
Right.
Did you expect it? And what did you think when you read the New York Times article as this started to blow up in mainstream media?
No, I did not expect the article. I can say that quite honestly. I don't know if anyone really did expect it except the people involved in writing it. So it came as a big surprise. And the reason it came as a surprise is that, you know, those of us who've been following the UFO field diligently for any period of time, I think we've been, if I can just say this, I think we've been starving for some any kind of legitimate, good, positive news that can keep us going. I mean, yes, there's a lot of sightings that happen all the time, but there haven't been any sightings that have gotten a lot of national or international press, to be quite frank about it, not since, I'm guessing, the Stephenville, Texas sighting, really 2008, for goodness sake. So it's been a very long time that we've had, you know, significant sighting that's really captured people's imagination and made us wonder. And, you know, in terms of news, in terms of politics of the UFO cover-up, it's been the same story. We had the citizen hearing on disclosure in 2013. I was part of that. But that was a good effort, but it didn't get a government recognition. And so what we're getting now is something that's a little bit more than that. And I think it's quite significant. So I wasn't expecting it. I'm glad it happened. I think it's not the same as disclosure. Some people are calling it that. But let's call it for what it is. It's an important acknowledgement that the Pentagon, in our own century and not long ago, had an active program to study UFOs. And more than that, I really want to mention this. In the New York Times piece, there were two that day, but one of them talked explicitly about how Bigelow Aerospace was contracted to study the UFOs on behalf of the Pentagon. But one of the things that they did was to study hardware or physical pieces of UFOs. And that was listed right in the New York Times piece. And to be honest, that's something of a bombshell. And I haven't really heard a whole lot of follow-up on this, but it's right there in the article. So, you know, where you've got these bland denials of the U.S. government that, you know, of course we haven't recovered any hardware, we're not studying any technology, and suddenly here's mainstream news contradicting that. I consider that very interesting. So what we really want to go from here is to find out what exactly has Bigelow Aerospace studied and what are their conclusions.
What did you think? I know you were listening to the intro on the show and this statement that Tom DeLong gave to me earlier today for the show tonight. And he said a couple of things here I want your comments on that I find very interesting. And one of those, he says that Congress has ignited and briefings will be starting soon if all goes well. What do you make of that?
Well, it's
only because things need to go up to the next level, right? How do we top what happened on December 16th? There was a lot of revealing things there. It's got to ratchet up, and certainly
they
that should
go to the next level.
Right.
They do. There's a couple of ways that this could happen. One would be by deeper investigative journalism than even what we've seen with the New York Times pieces. In my opinion, there's a tremendous opportunity for this. I'll come to the Tom DeLong statement in a moment, but let me just say, you know, you have people like Luis Elizondo, who has been getting, and rightly so, getting a lot of attention lately over his role in this, and some of the very interesting statements that he's made. And for example, you know, talking about the program that he was running, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, which, you know, the media has been making a big thing over the fact that it's only gotten $22 million of funding over, like, roughly 5 years, and that's less than chump change in the Pentagon. All of that is true. But what Elizondo said is essentially, you know, none of this makes sense because this is a serious matter that if the Russians or Chinese had such technology, in other words, totally outperforming our best fighter interceptors like F-18A Hornets, he says, if they had this technology, we'd be losing it as a nation, essentially. Instead, he said, all I'm hearing is the sound of crickets. And so what does that tell you? Well, what it tells me is that the people actually running the program know full well what's going on, right? And they probably know full well that they can't really compete with this technology and that there are other programs. Absolutely, there must be other programs that exist to deal with this. You can't tell me that we're only going to be throwing $22 million at a program that's dealing with technology that is beyond next generation, those are his words, and that continue to invade sensitive airspace, that continue to outperform our best jet fighters. There's absolutely no way that this is getting only $22 million. So that tells me that there are tremendous opportunities that await good investigative journalism to get to the bottom of this. Now, onto Tom DeLong's statement, it is interesting, and we do need to take this to the next level, and congressional hearings could be one way to do it, or congressional briefings. Let me just say, I fully support this effort if that's what's going to happen. But this isn't the first time we've been down this road. We've been down this road in the 1950s. We've been down this road in the 1960s when there were multiple attempts to bring this to Congress. And of course, it didn't really happen the way we wanted it to happen. When I was a member of the Citizen Hearing on Disclosure in 2013, I had long conversations with six recently retired members of the U.S. Congress and Senate. And I can tell you that none of them struck me as having the idea that Congress was going to be, had the ability to be an effective vehicle to move forward on this. I mean, this is just, I'm speaking in terms of real politics here. So whether Congress is able to do anything about this or not is an open question. Whether our Congress has the capability at this point to be productive on this issue is really something that we need to be asking long, hard questions about. And not just saying, oh yeah, well let Congress deal with it. They'll bring this out into the open. That would be wonderful, but I don't really know if Congress works that way anymore, or if it ever did.
And then, and the other part, the second half of this statement from Tom DeLong today, where he says that as we start to bear with me, as we start talking more gun camera footage, hardware, he uses the word hardware, and even more expansive military encounters.
Yeah, that's a lot more interesting. And, you know, you mentioned earlier the drip, drip, drip of disclosure. And this, I don't want to jump the gun here, and I don't want to say that this is a disclosure moment, but the fact is we don't know what the future is going to bring. Once we step forward, it's really hard to step back. And so we've stepped forward here with an acknowledgement that the Pentagon has been running a UFO program, that there's much more we need to learn about this program, clearly. But it's serious, and it's involved radical technology. Now, already we're seeing in the mainstream that the cold water being thrown all over this, even by the New York Times itself, by the way, which had an editorial a week later that talked about flying saucers and other fairy tales. That was the heading of the editorial piece. You have people like Neil deGrasse Tyson going on CNN and talking about how this is, you know, no big deal. And you have other, you know, other skeptical voices immediately coming out denying that this is anything that's important. So again, there's that pushback, but what will push back against that pushback are more revelations that are going to be difficult to deny. So this is really the key. And if we continue to get these, and if Tom DeLonge is able to facilitate that, we really need to support that effort. This is very important. And
are you surprised?
So I would say that this could be a significant development if it comes through the way that he's phrasing it.
Are you surprised? Normally, excuse me, we would expect something from the CIA, something from the White House, something from the Department of Defense, negating all of this. It didn't happen. The tapes were acquired illegally. This, you know, all denial, 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 and stepping back. Not only have we had something positive, it's actually been dead silence. And I think that's more telling than a reaction.
Well, there's been a little bit of distancing. You know, there was a Pentagon spokesperson. I can't remember her name, but she essentially said, well, this wasn't a very important program. She didn't say those exact words, but she said, you know, we canceled the funding when we decided to move on to things that were more important. I mean, it's not, you can't get to a bigger insult than say something like that. I mean, they threw $22 million at it, apparently nothing, and they canceled it to spend their money on more important matters, in their words. So they actually did their best to distance themselves from this program. Pretty much, you know, the way that the CIA and the Pentagon did after revelations about remote viewing came about, about 20 plus years ago, if you remember, 25 years ago, they did the same thing and said, no, well, you know, we did it for a little while, but it didn't really turn out to be anything interesting that we could use, which was a lie, of course. And they're doing the same kind of thing now. So there is this distancing. So I don't know what's going to happen about this. And this by itself, I don't think is going to lead to disclosure, but it could be, it's going to be hard for them completely to disavow it. And you're right in saying that, you know, they can't deny it. It's been confirmed, and there's too much behind it. I really have to say, I think a big reason for this article is probably because of Tom DeLonge, who you quoted earlier. I mean, it's his effort, to the Stars Academy, that, he gave a press conference on this just a couple of months ago with Luis Elizondo and Hal Putoff and some other very, very impressive individuals. And it seems to me that talk about this program, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Programs, has kind of dripped out through that. And I don't know the backstory of why these articles were written in the Times, but if I were to guess, I think that they wrote about it because this program was already coming out.
Yeah, let me jump in. Well, let me jump in because we have to take a break right here, Richard. But there's also an effort out there to call this a false flag for something else that will deal with the alien agenda too as well. I find that pretty interesting inside of the UFO community. Our guest tonight, Richard Dolan. It's Friday. It's New Year's weekend. Filling in for George Norrie. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. After Richard tonight, we're going to open up the phone line. Stay with us. This is Coast to Coast AM. Wow. You know, listening to David Gilmour, he's just an amazing guitar player, right? Well, before the show tonight, we were debating on the world's greatest guitar player. And so we threw Jimmy Page out there. Who's better than Jimmy Page? And so Tommy went with Rudolph Schenker, you know, Scorpions. I went Jeff Beck. What do you guys think? Pop it up on Twitter. Who's the king of the hill? Who's up above Jimmy Page? And we've got a long list here, you know, so let's have some fun tonight. It's New Year's. It's Friday night. Tonight, it's Friday. It's the end of the year. It's New Year's. It's open lines. It's the days of disclosure, and we've got Richard Dolan. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Coast AM. Sitting in for George Norrie tonight. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest is Richard Dolan, and we're going to get to your calls here in just a few minutes. But, Richard, what I wanted to ask you about is your writing of and looking into and theorizing about what the days after disclosure would be like. What do you think is going on now? I don't see the reactions, although it wasn't as dramatic maybe as what we would have liked to have seen, but certainly the world hasn't ended.
Well, that's right. But I don't really consider what we've had disclosure, not with a capital D anyway. I wrote the book AD After Disclosure with Bryce Zabel. Going back to 2010 now, although we did a revised version about a year later. But when we conceived of this, it was disclosure as a formal acknowledgement by a major political figure, let's say the President of the United States, which is what we're all thinking, right? Who would make an acknowledgement that, yes, this is real. Not simply that we've studied UFOs, but rather that, yes, this is a real phenomenon. They don't even say if it's extraterrestrial. If the U.S. government were to say, well, as a matter of fact, there are UFOs, and we really don't know what they are. I mean, that would be an amazing statement, and they've never even gone that far. Maybe that could qualify as a kind of sort of disclosure. But we haven't gotten that. So the scenario that that Bryce and I thought about in our book, in After Disclosure, hasn't happened yet. Now, we did two things in that book. The second thing that we did was to discuss what would happen, what would likely happen to our society, our civilization, and the aftermath of disclosure. And we really try to work at it like a think tank and try to analyze the various facets of our society that would be transformed by such an amazing revelation. But the first thing we tried to do was to figure out, how could this happen? How could what seems to be impossible be made inevitable? Because I've always seen disclosure as this kind of strange paradox, something that's impossible but inevitable. And I still see that. It's impossible in the sense that there is no motivation that I can see that would prompt any responsible government or military agency to openly acknowledge this. I just don't see the motivation. And yet I see it as an inevitability anyway, because frankly, those powers that be are not the only game in town. They're not the only part of the equation. One part of the equation is us, the people, who are continually developing new ways of communicating with each other and extracting information out of the secret world. And we're seeing one example of it here, by the way, with these revelations that are coming out of people like Luis Elizondo. And then another factor, of course, are the intelligences or agencies behind the UFOs themselves. Let's not forget them. But I think the biggest factor, frankly, is the revolutionary nature of our society. So, you know, that can cause a variety of ways that disclosure can happen. One could be an unexpected sighting that just is captured by multiple devices in multiple ways and becomes an undeniable event. That's a possibility, and that's one that I really have given a lot of thought to. But another would be what I thought of as a kind of WikiLeaks type of event, something that would prompt a major unexpected leak to come out. And then a variation of that would be, you know, something like a little version of what we're seeing now, like a whistleblower event. But when we use the word whistleblower, we've got to use it in a careful way. So Luis Elizondo is a whistleblower in the sense that he's a legitimate guy with a background that we can confirm 100%, who is, you know, part of a program that we have now confirmed that exists, and he's got something to say about it. So that's something that can continue. I mean, we're in an era where genuine whistleblowers can, you know, come out with more information and release information like this. So this is how I see disclosure probably happening in our era now. I don't know about a sighting that's going to capture our imagination with multiple devices. I would think that it would happen. Sightings happen all the time, but we haven't really seen the one that's going to kick in the door. But leaks can do it.
Now,
whistleblowers can do it.
And there's another part to this, which is the headlines all year topped the headlines from the day before. They just got bigger and bigger, whether it was natural disasters or the Las Vegas shooting or politics or whatever, you know, the sex scandals that have been going on. Everything just got bigger than the day before. And it's like, how can the mainstream continue? You know, what's the next headline going to be? Well, as it turned out, you know, for a week or more, they were able to top everything with UFO headlines. I can't imagine. You know what I mean? I've just found it to be a fantastic year of headlines. And then we closed out the year with this. And I don't know what's next.
Well, I don't either. So, I mean, you know, I study not just the world of UFOs, but I study geopolitics with a great amount of detail. And I think that there's a lot that's coming up ahead that does not bode well in terms of the global situation. But in terms of the UFO situation, I'm inclined to think that there's going to be more that's down the road, and people like Tom DeLong could be a very big part of that, it does seem. But even independent of him, I think that there could very well be motivations now by, you know, other genuine investigators to look into this Pentagon program and to see what else might be lurking within the depths of the black world.
Do you think that there'll
I'd love
be
to follow up. Well, I just make your point, but I want to follow up on your statement earlier about this as a potential false flag, because you intrigued me, but I didn't want to interrupt you, so go ahead.
No, let's go back to the false flag, and then we'll go back to me. How's that? Richard, you're the guest. It's your show. It's your show. But yeah, the false flag side of it, I thought that was pretty interesting, how that part of the UFO community rose up and said that this is going to be a continuation for the Department of Defense and the military industrial complex and a way to spend more money. Now we're going to fight aliens in space and what, you know. And I just thought that was interesting how that fueled itself so quickly.
Yeah, I heard this as well. And I think it's an unfortunate use of the phrase false flag, because I don't really think that applies in the way that people have been using it. But, I mean, a false flag is something that I see as a very different sort of a phenomenon. I mean, the false flag is the ultimate kind of a head fake, in which, you know, something is done that is blamed on another party that is used to justify some kind of action. And false flag is not just a lie. I mean, there's all kinds of lies and there's all kinds of deception and spin. So to me, I don't like to overuse the phrase false flag. I think it's a particular phenomenon. But I would say that, you know, nothing is as it seems. And when it's coming from the New York Times, you've got to be doubly aware of this. The New York Times, I have to say this, and despite the fact that the two articles that came out are genuine pieces, I mean, there's nothing fake about them. And nonetheless, it would be very foolish to trust anything coming out of the New York Times, and I really mean literally anything coming out of the New York Times. This is a newspaper that in the ramp-up to the war in 2003 gleefully reported the lies and disinformation of the Pentagon about the fictitious weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that ended up destroying, really truly destroying that nation. This is the newspaper that back in 1947, for goodness sake, willfully propagated the lie of the military back then about Roswell. Let's not forget, the New York Times reported that it was just a weather balloon.
Right.
And whatever the truth about Roswell, that was a lie. And so the New York Times has always been in on the game of lying to the public on behalf of the national security state. That's what they do. And so now what is the New York Times doing here? Well, one thing that we might see them as doing is damage control. All right. So, you know, you've got a guy like Luis Elizondo. He's out there. He's talking about this program. He's got a lot to say about it. And what we get is the New York Times throwing a couple of pieces out there. They're good pieces on the face of it. But I'll bet you, and I'm sure you'll agree, that there's a lot more to this story than what's in the New York Times. And I'm not faulting the New York Times for not going farther, but this is what it looks like to me. You've got a significant story brewing here. And it seems to me the best way to contain a situation is by, well, pretending that you're getting the full scoop and you're tossing it right out there with the hope that maybe now you've cauterized the wound. Now, I don't know the motivations of the three writers behind the article, and it would be inappropriate for me to say that this is what I think that they've done, but I can't help but think, knowing the history of the New York Times, that this is maybe in someone's agenda. Do an article, get it out there. You know, I think it was Alan Dulles, former CIA director, who once said the best way to keep a secret is to pretend to share it. I think that was him. You know, the best way perhaps to contain a story that might threaten to get out of control is you deal with it and then you put it away. Now, this is a story that won't be easy to put away, so I'm not sure what the strategy is going to be. But I guess what I'm saying is I don't know that the New York Times motivations here are simply to inform the public. I think that there's a lot of other possibilities going on here.
How do we jump from
one other possibility, which is to destabilize the story? I mean, and let me just say this: one of the first things that they did, very prominently in one of the pieces, the one titled "Glowing Auras and Black Money," they quoted two significant UFO skeptics. One, James Oberg, who's been in the skeptic debunked UFOs for, I think, 40 years, and an astronomer. And they were very prominent about, again, even in the article, throwing cold water on the piece. So I'm inclined to see the New York Times doing some damage control there. False flag is a little different for me. I don't see the false flag aspect.
Well, how does the UFO... Yeah, how does the UFO community go from this article in the New York Times to the statements, this is a false flag for the fake alien invasion? It just seems like it's too broad of a jump and too quick. I don't get that.
I think false flag for a fake alien invasion is an irresponsible statement. And I would never support anyone who says this. This field has been littered, poisoned by these types of statements for years. And we really have got to stop this. All right. I mean, it's one thing to speculate on what you think might be going on, but it's another to pretend to know based on your own inside sources that no one ever knows what these sources happen to be, that you know that this is going to happen or that is going to happen. One prediction after another prediction. It's a really good way to desensitize people who are genuinely interested in this.
Right.
And it's a really good way to confuse them. And I don't trust people who make these types of predictions. And I think that no one should trust people who make these types of blanket statements. There's something wrong about that. So false flags happen. But to state that this is in preparation for a fake alien invasion, I've never believed in that scenario to begin with. And I think I've talked with you about this.
Yes.
I think that it's a pipe dream. There's lots of other ways to implement a global world order. They're doing it now already. It's been going on for years, and it's going to continue pedal to the metal for as far as I can see. They don't need to pretend that the aliens are invading. But the real problem with it is logistically. 9/11 was a hell of a thing to pull off. Okay. But a fake alien invasion, that goes even beyond. You've got a world not only of skeptical scientists, but of scientists who are deeply hostile to the idea of UFOs at all. How does anyone expect they're just going to roll over all as one and say, oh, yeah, oh, wow, alien invasion. Wow, you got me. They're going to want to see evidence, hard evidence.
Giorgio Tsoukalos said to me one time about 6 months ago, I quote him all the time. It was just brilliant. But he said this, Richard. He said, E.T. lands, the White House lawn, Los Angeles, whatever, steps off the craft. And what we are going to find out when that happens is that all of us, you and me and everybody else, got it all wrong. It's just like, it's the perfect way to look at it.
Well, I think that there's a lot of truth to that in the sense that this is a phenomenon. Many of us have been studying this for a long time, and it leads to a lot of frustrations. There's no question about it. Like, no matter what solution you look to, whether it's extraterrestrial or interdimensional or time travelers or black budget technology or whatever, there are competing explanations that that make this difficult to get a single handle on what it is that's happening. Is it multiple explanations? Is it one explanation? So, and I also suspect that there's a reality that is represented by this phenomenon that is probably deeper than our total ability to understand. Doesn't mean that we can't understand it better than we do. I think we can, but I don't know that we're really ever going to be able to grasp this phenomenon in its true enormity. I suspect that it's probably beyond our full comprehension at some level.
And that's why we have you on tonight, because you center all of us, Richard. Now, let's do this. When we come back after this break, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Are you ready to go, Richard?
You bet.
We're going to do phone calls on Friday night with Richard Dolan. Sitting in for George Norrie, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM.